Our Man in China, Episode 6, Love and Lust. As mentioned, women are monogamous, and more often than not, their first boyfriend is commonly their last. Single mothers seldom exist in China. Not only does she not receive anything in the way of benefits, once she is divorced and having fornicated with a man, leaves her regarded as worthless to other men who no longer consider her untouched. Therefore, women will often turn a blind eye to the infidelity of and mistreatment by their husbands rather than face the poverty and rejection that divorce has to offer. Chinese men are known to be extremely submissive, yet equally unfaithful, and affairs with unmarried women from bar cum brothels, known as chicken bars, are not unusual. It can be argued there are many forms of love, and we all have our own definition that stems from our own feelings, upbringing, and perceptions. We may all be stirred and stimulated in different ways, yet if we take the example of the ancient Greeks and study their 8 forms of love, certainly 4 types typically on display in the Western world I did not witness in Suzhou. Eros, romantic love. Philia, affectionate love. Storge, familiar love. And ludus, playful love, are often seen firsthand in Western countries, but I would not see couples hands locked, kissing and giving loving looks. I didn't see play fights between siblings, nor parents cuddling their children. I did not see children sat on their parents' shoulders, and children were not indulged with love and affection. Attention, as I was used to seeing. Louis Armstrong saw love through friends shaking hands, saying, "How do you do?" The French will kiss family members up to 4 times on greeting them. Even us Brits show outpours of emotion on occasion. This romantic love, which I had seen in abundance previously, I longed to see in China, as I did ludus. My younger students at the weekend school and in a deprived area I worked in during the week would have very little, if any, human contact. I remember the joy and excitement it brought to them to have me pick them up and play classroom games with them. I would play with them as my parents did with me, whereas the Chinese teaching systems were firm and strict. Children are not doted on, and the exuberant fun I have come to know doesn't exist for children, at least not where I was in China. Time does not water down the wine of friendship, nor distance separate our hands of longing. And many people walk in and out of our lives, but only true friends leave footprints on our hearts. Both Chinese proverbs. It was not all doom and gloom. I saw bonds between friends through various meetups and social events. In many places, I would see young Chinese men playing in groups. Students in their 20s would congregate to play online computer games, sometimes 50 young men supporting a single competitor as he played online against a rival competitor in the US. The support for the individual was huge, real camaraderie. Groups of girls of a similar age would meet and drink bubble tea, giggling and gossiping as you would expect. In case you're not familiar with it, bubble tea is a cold drink usually made from iced tea, sweetened milk and pearls, which are sweet black balls made from tapioca. So I did not see romance nor playful love between parents and their child, I did see friendship. With arranged weddings commonplace, the very idea of love itself is virtually unattainable. Owing to the fact that love is so out of reach for the Chinese, the word itself is omnipresent. Pencil cases, garish t-shirts, notebooks, you name it. The younger generation's exposure to love is through tangible items bought in stationery shops. It is not lived and breathed. Lastly, without love, there is less sex. Intercourse itself is not considered an act of pleasure in China. Being the traditional place that it is, China typically views sex as a means of production. A woman is a device, a tool to bestow her man an heir. And when only one child is allowed, the woman tends to cease granting her husband sex. What does a man do when his own wife refuses to have sex with him? This leads us on to one of the key themes here, prostitution in Suzhou. As expats tend to do, I socialise with fellow foreigners on arrival. There are bars across the city, but the densest concentration of bars was found on one of the most popular streets, Shijian Street, in downtown Suzhou. It was here that Laowais and locals alike flocked to play pool, watch late premiership football matches and have the odd beer or two. There was Jane's, for example, where one could drink imported Carlsberg on draft prior to hammering at pool from a Chinese student before watching him throw up, all before 10 o'clock. Then there were the chicken bars. Prostitutes in China aren't the street crawlers we see depicted back home and what we associate with Hugh Grant. Nor are the Kubrick's characters from Full Metal Jacket, loud, gregarious, and in your face, throwing out offers of oral sex. I was wet behind the ears, and having always associated prostitutes with Amsterdam and Soho, it was some shock to discover almost each and every bar had two functions. Two services, if you like. Cold beer and unprotected, unsupervised sex with young women. These were the chicken bars from the slang word for chicken, prostitutes, in colloquial speech in Suzhou. Chicken bars were far more than simply brothels with bars on the ground floor. They often screened sporting events, offered darts and pool to customers, were equipped with jukeboxes and handed out free peanuts with every beverage. It was not before long that I discerned that the majority of my new acquaintances, especially those who were married, would frequent these bars, the ladies of the night. Many would slip off, claiming to buy cigarettes during a night out, and many more would come in at other moments when they were not out drinking, straight after work, for example. I was not a complete stranger to prostitution, albeit the one trip to Amsterdam, nor did it disgust me. During said trip to Amsterdam as a 17-year-old, it won't be surprising to learn that we spent 3 days getting stoned and admiring the most beautiful women as we drank and enjoyed ourselves in the red light district. As a sex-deprived and testosterone-charged teenager, I'd barely lost my virginity before I joined a group of three friends and set off for a long weekend in Amsterdam. We egged each other on over those days, but up until 2 hours before we were due to the airport, neither one of us had gained the courage to approach the glass display windows in which the ladies stood. With time running out, the alpha male, Michael, irascible and as competitive as anyone, took the plunge before the rest of us followed suit. It was an incredible experience, and one I'm not ashamed of. This ancient profession is properly policed in Amsterdam, and women seem to live a safe existence, earn well, as my conversation with one showed, do extremely well financially. Back to 2010, and in the early days in Suzhou, with low financial resources, and still a somewhat prudish stance on paying for sex, I simply chugged down my Qingdao, nibbled on a few peanuts, and went on my way. But as time passed, my already strong sexual desire surged, and on realizing a relationship with a local girl was out of the question, I too delved into this world. This, however, did not go to plan.